This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello, welcome back to Discover the Wonders. Today we're going to learn about the first two brothers in the Bible and in the world, Cain and Abel. And then I'm going to tell you a story about someone who called himself brother, and he was a smuggler. So it's a very exciting story. But first of all, we'll start off with Cain and Abel. So God had created the world. He'd made it wonderful. And he'd made the first two people. He made them a beautiful garden to live in. But they disobeyed God, and they brought punishment upon themselves. They brought trouble upon themselves and into the world. And they had to get out of the garden, and there were consequences. But then they started to have children, and their first two children was Cain and Abel. So Cain was the oldest, and he liked to be a gardener. So that's what he did as his job, whereas Abel was a shepherd and looked after sheep. Now, these two boys were both very different from each other, and these boys show us what we can be like too. We can either be like Cain or we can be like Abel. So Cain, he wanted to do things his own way. He didn't want to listen to God. He didn't love God. He wanted to be his own boss. But Abel was different. Abel loved God and wanted to obey God. And so there came a day where they both brought an offering to God. They both brought a present to God. Cain brought some of his vegetables from the garden, and Abel brought a little lamb from his flock. He brought the best lamb that he had, and he presented it to God as an offering to God. Now, God looked at Cain and his offering. And you know, God can see inside our hearts. He can see what we think and what we feel. And he doesn't just look at our actions. He looks at our heart. And when he looked at Cain, he could see that Cain didn't love God. Cain wanted to do his own thing. Whereas when he looked at Abel, he could see that Abel loved him and was obedient. And so because of this, God accepted Abel. God was pleased with Abel's offering that he'd brought to him, but he wasn't pleased with Cain because Cain didn't do it with a right heart. Cain wasn't obedient. Now, Cain, instead of being sorry, he just got angry. And God said to him, "Why are you angry? If you do what's right, you will be accepted. If you would do it my way, you will be accepted. But if you don't, then you won't be accepted. It's your choice." And so Cain, instead of changing, instead of admitting he was wrong, he just got angry at Abel instead. He started to hate Abel. And one day he went for a walk with Abel, and his anger inside of him, it kind of grew and grew until he suddenly attacked his brother and killed him. The very first two brothers in the world. And one of them killed the other one. How horrible is that? But you know what? Cain forgot that God sees everything. And God came to him and said, "Cain, where is your brother Abel?" And Cain said, "Well, I don't know. Am I his babysitter?" And God said, "Cain, what have you done? I know what you've done. I know you've killed your brother Abel. And your actions are bringing consequences upon yourself too. You're going to have to travel far away and be a wanderer. And your work is going to be very hard. Your gardening work is going to be a very difficult job." And Cain said, "Well, I can't handle that." You know, Cain didn't apologize. He didn't say he was sorry. He didn't want to listen to God. He didn't want to do what God wanted. And so he said, "Well, if somebody finds me, they're going to kill me because of what I've done." And God said, "No, I will protect you and people will not kill you." But he had to go far away. And that is such a sad story of the first two brothers in the Bible. One who did what was right and God accepted him. And then he was hated because of it. And then Cain, he chose his own way and then he expected God to be pleased with him. And then he killed his brother because his brother did what was right. How crazy is all of that? But now I'm going to sing you a few songs, and I want you to think about which of those brothers are you like? Are you like Cain, who goes his own way and yet expects God to be pleased with him? Or are you like Abel? Do you do what's right? Do you love God? Are you sorry for the wrong things you've done? Abel wasn't perfect either, but he was sorry for the wrong things he'd done and trusted in God. So I have three songs. The first one is called Be Kind to One Another. And that's what Cain needed to do. And this song is based on a verse in the Bible.
Be kind to one another, be tender-hearted too, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. Christ is our example, like him we should be kind to one another, loving tenderly, be kind to one another, be tender hearted too, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. Christ is our example, like him we should be kind to one another, loving tenderly.
The next song is called Which One Are You Like, Abel or Cain?
Which one are you like, Abel or Cain? Do you listen to the Lord or go your own way? Do you have a heart of love or a heart of hate and anger? Which one are you like, Abel or Cain? Do you listen to the Lord or go your own way? Do you listen to God's word, or do you think you know best? Which one are you like, Abel or Cain? Do you listen to the Lord or go your own way? Do you like to obey God, or could you not care less? Which one are you like, Abel or Cain? Do you listen to the Lord or go your own way?
And the next one is called I Met Jesus at the Crossroads, and it shows us two ways that we can go. We can either go with Jesus or we can go with Satan.
I met Jesus at the crossroads where the two ways meet. Satan too was standing there and he said, come this way. Lots and lots of pleasures I will give to you today. But I said, no, there's Jesus here. Let's see what he offers me. Down here my sin's forgiven, up there a home in heaven. Praise God, that's the way for me. I met Jesus at the crossroads where the two ways meet. Satan too was standing there and he said, come this way. Lots and lots of pleasures I will give to you today. But I said, no, there's Jesus here. Let's see what he offers me. Down here my sin's forgiven, up there a home in heaven. Praise God, that's the way for me.
So, which way do you choose? Now I'm going to tell you a very exciting story about a man called Brother Andrew, and he's also called God's Smuggler. So I have a book about him called God's Smuggler, and Brother Andrew was born in Holland, just like my husband. But when he was older, he ended up doing something very special. So, well, first he went on a trip into some of the European countries. And some of the European countries were called the Iron Curtain. And that meant that they were communist. And so the government had a lot of control over what you did. And it was very difficult for Christians who lived in those countries. It was very hard for them to get Bibles. And it was just very difficult. They could easily end up in prison. They were watched a lot. And so Brother Andrew went on a trip into one of these countries and he saw what it was like for Christians in those countries and he saw how hard it was to get Bibles. And he really felt like God was telling him to go help those people. And so Brother Andrew wanted to help those people because those people, those Christians there felt like they were forgotten by the rest of the world. It was so difficult for them and they felt so alone. And so God was going to send Brother Andrew to them to get them Bibles, but also to help and encourage them so they didn't feel so alone. And so that was a difficult thing to do. How was he going to take Bibles into a place where you'll be searched and where you're not allowed to take Bibles into? He was allowed to take one Bible, his own Bible, but you're not allowed to take more Bibles than that into those countries. And so to obey God, he's got to risk his own life. He could get in really serious trouble if he was caught trying to take Bibles. But you know what? Brother Andrew was someone who loved adventure. And so he was just the right person for God to use to do this job. So anyway, when he went back from this trip, he told some people about what he believed God wanted him to do. And one person gave him a car that he could use to travel around. And then somebody else gave him money to buy Bibles. So now he has a car, now he has Bibles, but how is he going to get into these countries with Bibles without being caught? So, but he obeyed God, he packed up all the Bibles, he put some in a sleeping bag with his camping stuff, and he put some in his suitcase. But he must have been a little bit scared. I can't imagine anybody not being scared going to do this. And so he drove up to the border of one of these countries and he prayed a prayer, which he prayed many times afterwards. He prayed, Lord, in the Bible, when Jesus was on earth, he made blind eyes see, because there were blind people in the Bible that Jesus healed and he could make them see. And so he said, now I'm asking you to make eyes that can see blind. Please help these guards not see the Bibles. So that was a bit of something impossible that Brother Andrew was asking God to do. But you know, for God, there is nothing impossible, at least nothing good. There are things that it is impossible for God to do, like to tell lies or to do wrong. But anything like this, anything God wants us to do, there will be nothing impossible. So Brother Andrew prayed this prayer and then he had to trust God to answer the prayer. So anyway, here come the guards to search for anything that's forbidden. So they start looking through all his camping stuff. And guess what? They didn't even see the Bibles that were in a sleeping bag. And then they open up the suitcase and Brother Andrew must have held his breath. And there in the suitcase in plain sight are all these Bibles. But you know what? God answered Brother Andrew's prayer and the guards didn't even seem to see them. And so that was how he was able to get across the border and how he was able to take Bibles to those people who needed them so bad. So, you know, he was willing to risk his life to get Bibles to people. And that is because the Bible is such a special book. It is worth risking your life over. And, you know, if it wasn't such a special book, he wouldn't have risked his life doing that. So that's something really special about Brother Andrew. But there's, in the book that I have, there are two stories that I remember and that I want to share with you. And one of them is back when he was a young man, and he thought it was very exciting to be in war and to fight. Thankfully, God changed his heart later on, and that didn't appeal to him anymore. But there's a story of when he went over to Indonesia as a soldier. And so Brother Andrew was a very confident person, and he was a little too confident. And, you know, Brother Andrew had never driven a car before in Holland. He probably just rode around on bikes. So he didn't know how to drive a car. And one day, an officer asked him if he knew how to drive a Bren carrier. Now, a Bren carrier is a big armored vehicle that they use in the army. And it was very hard to drive, even for someone who knew how to drive a car. And Brother Andrew didn't even know how to drive a car. But he'd been out in this Bren carrier so many times and he'd watched carefully how the other men drove it that he thought he knew how to drive it. And so one day this officer said to him, "Do you know how to drive a Bren carrier?" And straight away Brother Andrew said, "Yes, sir." You know, he thought he knew how to drive it. And so the officer said, "All right, we need to take it over there to be serviced. We need to take it over to the garage." And so over at the garage, there was a line of 7 Bren carriers. They were all lined up behind one another waiting to be serviced. Brother Andrew said that he would drive it. He said he knew how to drive it, and yet he had never even driven a car, let alone a Bren carrier. And so he jumps in, the officer, the poor officer jumps in next to him, and Brother Andrew, he knew how to turn on the key, so he did that. And then he took off. And with a great big kangaroo leap, he took off so unsmoothly. The officer looked a little bit scared, and Brother Andrew drove really fast, and the officer was holding on for dear life. And then they got closer to the Bren carriers, and Brother Andrew was driving so fast that they nearly ran over a sergeant on the way. Sergeant had to run away as fast as he could. And then he was coming towards the Bren carriers, and Brother Andrew realized he was in trouble. He realized he didn't know where the brake was, and he was coming out really fast. And so in panic, he started pushing and pulling on everything there was to push on. And in doing so, he pushed on the accelerator, and he went slamming into the back of the line of the Bren carriers, and each one slammed forward and hit the one in front of it, which then hit the one in front of that. And so they all banged together. And that poor officer, he was sweating and shaking. And he got out and he walked straight away without saying anything to Brother Andrew. He'd gotten such a fright. And then that sergeant, he saw all that was happening, the one who was nearly run over Brother Andrew. And he came rushing up and he grabbed Brother Andrew and pulled him out. And he said, "What on earth got into you?" And Brother Andrew said, "Well, he asked me if I knew how to drive. He didn't ask me if I knew how to stop." And so I think that's a funny story. But that teaches me something. You know, a Bren carrier or any kind of vehicle, it needs brakes. And if you're going to drive them to be safe, you need to know where the brakes are. So the brakes are made to keep you safe and to keep you from crashing and to keep you from hurting yourself and other people. When you don't know where the brakes are, when you don't use the brakes, you're in for a lot of trouble. You're going to hurt yourself, you're going to hurt your vehicle, and you're going to hurt anybody around you. And so, do you know what? The Bible also has brakes in it. Now, maybe you don't know what that means, but that means the Bible has rules that are like brakes for our lives. So, for example, the Bible says, don't steal. If we don't use that brake and we think, "Oh, I can take whatever I want from other people," it is like we're driving our life without any brake on. And if we ignore God's brakes, God's rules, then we're going to hurt ourselves. We're going to hurt our reputation. If we steal, people can't trust us. We're going to hurt the people that we steal from. We're going to damage our life. And there are other brakes, other rules that the Bible has, like do not kill or do not tell lies. That's a good one. If we tell lies, people can't trust us. We can hurt other people. We can hurt ourselves. We can hurt our own life. So the rules in the Bible are put there to keep us safe. They're like brakes. And it's very dangerous to drive a car without any brakes. You won't go far at all without crashing and hurting somebody. So when you think of the rules in the Bible, remember that they're like brakes. They're put there for our good, and if we will listen to them, our lives will be much happier than if we just ignore those brakes. You know, they're not put there to make us miserable. They're put there so that we do have a good life. So that's one story I really like. And oh, and also, you know, a car has an accelerator. Well, the Bible also has an accelerator as well. That means the things that we are to do. We are to love one another. We are to love God. And we are to tell the truth. And the Bible is full of good things that are like an accelerator, things that we do need to do. But we also need to pay attention to the breaks, to the things God tells us not to do. And you know what? With Adam and Eve, the break was don't eat of the tree. But they ignored that. And that's why they brought so much trouble into their lives and into the world. So it'd be good if we can think of God's rules as being like the brake of a car that is made to keep us safe and so we can enjoy our life. Okay, now there's another story which I think is really neat. And it is a story of after he had become a Christian, after his life had changed and turned around, and now he wanted to serve God and he wanted to do what God wanted him to do. And so he went over to Scotland and he went to a Bible school. Now, the point of the Bible school was to teach the students how to trust in God. And one of the ways that they learned to trust in God was trusting God to provide what they needed. And so they also learned practical skills as well. But one time, Brother Andrew, he went with four other guys. They went on a special trip around Scotland and they had to have meetings. And but they were given a certain amount of money, which was not very much. And when they came back again, they had to pay that money back to the Bible school. So they could use that money, but they had to trust God to provide anything else, any other money they needed, because it wasn't very much money. And also they had to trust God to provide the money to pay back when they came back to the school. Now that sounds kind of impossible, but we do have a God who hears prayers and who takes care of those who follow him. And so this was an opportunity for Brother Andrew and these four other guys to learn to trust God to take care of their needs. So they were not allowed to ask anybody for help. If they needed something, they just had to ask God for it and see God provide for them. So they couldn't ask other people for help. They couldn't take up offerings or things like that. And another rule, they had to give away 10% or like a tithe of what they were given. So any money they were given, they had to give some of it away. Or if they were given some food, they had to give some of it away to somebody else. So how was that going to go? So Brother Andrew and the other guys, they kept to those rules. They gave away anything they were given. And you know what? God did meet their needs. And Brother Andrew didn't know quite how it happened, but they had, as they went on this trip, everything they needed. Sometimes one of the boys would get a letter in the mail from somebody, and there would be some money in it. And so they would use that for what they needed. And then sometimes somebody at one of the meetings would give them some money. Or sometimes, quite often, people would give them things, maybe some food. One time they got given 600 eggs. Can you imagine how sick of eggs they got? They were very creative, learned all different ways to use eggs. But at the end, they didn't want to see an egg again for a long time. So God was wonderfully meeting their needs. But then they ran into a bit of a problem. They were having a meeting for like teenagers and they really wanted the teenagers to come back to the next meeting. So one of the guys, without talking to the other guys, suddenly made an announcement. He said, "Tomorrow, be right before our meeting, we're going to have tea. And so you are all invited. Please come at 4 o'clock. I think it was 4 o'clock. And come and have tea with us." And by tea, he meant tea and coffee and cake. So it wasn't just a cup of tea. And the other guys looked at him and thought, we don't have the stuff for that. We don't have any cake. We don't have any tea or coffee. We don't even have dishes to serve it. They're like, why did you do that? But then some of the young people, they started saying, "Oh, I'll bring milk. I'll bring tea. I'll bring coffee." One person even offered to bring dishes. So it looked like they had everything that they needed for this tea just by the young people offering. But there was one thing they didn't have. They didn't have cake. And Brother Andrew and the other guys knew that these young people would expect cake. So they thought, oh no, what have we done? What have we got ourselves into? So they prayed for God to provide a cake to serve these young people. But that day, nothing happened. Nothing came in the mail. No cake. The next day, Nothing came in the mail. It was 3 o'clock. Nothing. They still have no cake. They get everything ready. They get the table set. 3:30. Still nothing. No cake. So they put the jug on. They make sure everything's ready. At 3:45, there was a knock at the door. And they opened the door, and there was the postman standing there with a big box. And the postman said to them, "This parcel is a perishable one. It is a food item. And so my delivery day is actually over. I should be done for the day, but I didn't want to just leave this sitting overnight when it could be ruined. So I came and brought it to you now, even though my day's finished." And they read the label on this box, and it was for Brother Andrew, and it was from someone that he had stayed with a while before. And so Brother Andrew slowly opened it up, and can you believe what it was? It was a big, moist, delicious-looking chocolate cake. God had provided exactly what they needed 1/4 hour before they needed it. Now, I'm going to sing a little song called "God Is So Good."
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so.
And I'm going to sing just one more song. This program is called Discover the Wonders. And this song is called The Wonder of It All.
There's a wonder of sunset at evening. The wonder of sunrise I see. Springtime and harvest, the sky, the stars, the sun. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is a wonder that has only begun. Oh, the wonder of just to think that God loves me.
So that is the biggest wonder of all, that God cares about us. And also it is a wonder how God changes people's lives. So he completely changed Brother Andrew's life, and he used him to do exciting things and to get Bibles and to get help to the people who needed it. So I hope you've learned something from these stories, and I will see you next week.